in tough economic times, can we still count on corporate giving? Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Bowman, Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Brain, and this is the Supply Chain Brain Podcast. In a time of growing awareness of the need for corporate social responsibility, or CSR, are companies stepping up to their commitments? One major giver is the John Deere Foundation, an offshoot of one of the world's largest makers of construction, agricultural, and forestry machinery. The foundation recently marked its 75th anniversary, and over that time has contributed more than $400 million to nutrition, shelter, and education initiatives in local communities. Today I'm speaking with Nate Clark, Global Director of CSR and President of the John Deere Foundation. In addition to learning about the foundation itself, we're going to talk about trends in CSR. Where's the money going? What form it's taking? And who's benefiting? We'll also look at the idea of unrestricted giving to nonprofits, meaning money with no strings attached. How's that working out? And how is the foundation dealing with what Clark describes as the increasingly critical and cynical attitude of stakeholders over the whole practice of corporate giving? Finally, can we rely on Deere and others to maintain their giving levels even when profits dip and the economy takes a dive? Here's my conversation with Nate Clark. Nate Clark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Nice to be here.
John Deere Foundation recently celebrated its 75th birthday. Tell me about the foundation, its mission, how it was formed, and what it does.
Sure, Bob, and thanks so much for the opportunity to participate on this podcast and share a little bit about John Deere, the John Deere Foundation. Whenever I have an opportunity to talk about our CSR work, I often tell a story about my youth and growing up. I, like many John Deere employees, we grew up in the Midwest. My family's from the Waterloo, Iowa community. And for those of us who are from Waterloo, Iowa, John Deere has been ever present. As a bit of history, one of the things that was transformative for John Deere as a company was back in 1918 when John Deere decided to get into the tractor business. And we bought a company that was producing tractors in Waterloo, Iowa. And the point of this story is that when I was growing up and my dad was in the military and we were traveling all over during the summers, I would go back to Waterloo to spend time with my grandparents. And I remember one day sitting and having breakfast with my grandmother and grandfather in a small town called Jessup, Iowa. And I remember asking, what's the best jobs? I was 14 or 15. And my grandmother said there were the two best jobs. One was working for the post office, and the other was working for John Deere's. Mm-hmm. And she calls it not John Deere, but John Deere's, because there was a sense of personality and personification linked to the company. And that has always informed my values, my belief in what's great about the company. And what that is in every way that we express ourselves, from our technologies to the careers, and even to corporate social responsibility, like the work of the John Deere Foundation, we think of people and the people who are nearest and dearest to us. And so the work of the John Deere Foundation, quite simply, is to influence our stakeholders to believe that there are people in charge of the company who are thinking about them every single day. And that's what I get to do.
Where does the money come from to fund it?
Oh, that's a great question. You're getting down to brass tacks immediately.
So the
lovely thing about the John Deere Foundation is that it's a separate legal entity. It's its own charity. It was founded in 1948, and it was founded on the belief that Deere & Company has a commitment to the communities we call home, to our neighbors. And what Deere & Company does regularly is it makes donations to the John Deere Foundation to build assets that we can use, particularly when times are their toughest, to help create opportunities for our neighbors, particularly those who are the most vulnerable socially or economically, to uplift themselves. And for the last 76 years, Deere & Company has been our sole benefactor.
You've had more than $400 million in giving. Is that over the life of the foundation, or what period of time is that?
It is. It's over the life of the foundation. But one of the things that we're so proud of is as John Deere's success has grown, as the success of our customers and our employees have grown, so has Deere's contribution to the foundation, and so has the foundation's responsibility of giving back. So of that $400 million, over the last 10 years alone, we've invested $100 million in our communities, in smallholder farmers and vulnerable farmers all over the world, and in our employees' own philanthropy. And back in 2021, Bob, we knew that this responsibility, this expectation of us to be thoughtful, socially responsible partner within our communities, we knew that was growing. And so we made a commitment to invest $200 million from 2021 through 2030 in nonprofit partners and projects that we felt would have the greatest impact on the lives of those around us.
Does that come entirely from the resources and the funds of John Deere, the company, or do you solicit funds from outside as well?
That's a great question. It comes only from Deere & Company. And we often get requests because we're really proud and humbled by the success that we've had in making an impact. We often get requests from employees and retirees and neighbors who want to contribute to the John Deere Foundation. And what we do is instead of taking those funds or soliciting those funds, we simply share our approach and allow our neighbors and our friends and our fans to learn what we do and why we do it and contribute on their own terms. So to your question again, Deere & Company is the only source of funds for the John Deere Foundation.
So clearly you have a real on-the-ground perspective of what's going on in corporate social responsibility or CSR these days. Paint a picture for me, will you, in 2024. What are the top trends you're seeing out there? And there's also this progressive concept of so-called unrestricted giving. I'd like to hear about that. But let's start by just telling me what you think the CSR landscape is looking like right now.
It's a really important question. And one of the things that working for a 187-year-old company and a 76-year-old foundation has given to us is a sense of history. And what that has taught us is that corporate social responsibility as an idea is an ever-changing concept, an artifact, if you will. And what that artifact does is it sits between a corporation and its identity and all of the expectations of its stakeholders. For us, at the core of those expectations are our customers and our employees and our neighbors. But everyone who interacts with John Deere in some way influences the shape and direction of corporate social responsibility. One of these directions is that over the last several years, particularly in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, we all learned about the vulnerability of our communities and particularly the vulnerability of nonprofit organizations. For a long time, these organizations and the ways that they were funded actually could have harmed them. They didn't have the types of investments that they needed to secure their own workforce, to enable their own innovation and capacity building. And so what came from that, particularly with progressive, thoughtful foundations, is the need for donors to change how they give. And one of the ways to do that is through something that is widely known as trust-based philanthropy. And it's quite simply, you give money to nonprofit organizations with no strings attached. That's unrestricted grant making. And to make it even better, Bob, one of the things that you can do is you can give it over a multi-year term. So it allows nonprofit organizations both the flexibility to use the funds in the ways that they think are best. And it also gives them the security of long-term funding so that they can plan. So giving has become, in many ways, more effective based on the tough lessons learned since COVID. The other trend that I see is that our stakeholders are increasingly critical and cynical when it comes to corporate social responsibility. What I mean by that is that they want to know that the company, the corporation, or other donor is doing it for the right reasons. And they want to know that there is a true impact based on shared values between the stakeholders. So one of the things that we did as a foundation and as a company is we asked our most important stakeholders. Those are our customers, our employees and our neighbors. What were the kinds of things, issues that caused them concern? What were the types of things that we could coordinate and join forces in addressing? And we learned a couple really important things in the case of John Deere. We learned that our most important friends and fans, they want us to address things like the elimination of hunger. And so over the last few years, we've done that. In addition, they want us to invest in things that permit self-sufficiency and empowerment, particularly within our home communities. And so we're very mindful that the world around us is increasingly skeptical of what CSR is and what it means. And we double down on making sure that we get the right amount of input and that we honor the wishes of our stakeholders.
Really interesting that it doesn't come in the form of dictates from the executive suite without any feedback. I would imagine that really does a good job of involving your employees and defining a corporate culture in a really positive way, as opposed to if your top executive simply said, here's where the money's going, this is our decision.
That's such an important observation, because one of the things that we've learned in every aspect of our business, when we manufacture a machine or develop a technology, that's always based on the input of our customers. Our goal is how do we find ways to unlock value for these customers who feed and clothe and renewably fuel the world, who build our roads and schools and houses, all of these really important things. We need their input for us to design the technologies that will best serve them. When you think of corporate social responsibility, you must think of it in exactly the same way. It's for us to ask those who are most important to us to tell us what are the ways that we can show up in our communities? What are the ways that we can show our inextricable integration into the life and livelihood and prosperity of our home communities? Because when you do that, not only do you get the best answers, because these nonprofit experts are extraordinary, but you also enhance your reputation as being someone and as a business that can be trusted.
But Nate, it must be quite a challenge to properly vet the sources of your funding, the receivers of your funding, to number one, to know that the money's going to where you want it to go, that a good percentage of it is going to the actual thing as opposed to administrative costs, that the receivers of your money are honest and are really going to do what they set out to do. Is it not something you really have to take great care toward?
You bet. We have certainly a responsibility to make sure that every single dollar that we invest in the community produces the greatest return. Going back to the question you asked earlier, we know that Deere and Company could make a lot of different decisions with those dollars that it donates to the John Deere Foundation. And so each member of the staff of the CSR team takes our role very seriously. And we have also learned that because our roots run so deep within many of our communities, here in Moline, or I mentioned Waterloo a bit earlier, there are lots of communities that we call home. We've been there for decades and sometimes more than a century. So we are so integrated through the work of the team and through our leadership and through generations of employees. We actually know quite well those organizations doing the most important work. The other thing is, you mentioned the idea of trust and administrative expenses and other things. One of the things that has been part of this journey to become a better donor is to not only get input, but to learn about the different business models of nonprofit organizations. You can't compare one nonprofit organization to the other. Also, it's very difficult to sometimes understand from where we sit the chaos of the lives of these nonprofit organizations serve. So we have done a lot more to expand our analysis of nonprofit organizations from the input side, the administrative aspect side, to more about the outcomes they are producing. Because that's where the analysis should start and end. Is an organization delivering results that change the lives of people? We hold ourselves at Deere to the same type of accountability. It's about how do we meet our goals as a business? How do we meet our what we call our leap ambitions, the way we show up to unlock value for our customers in the world in ways that are sustainable for all? So we've become better and more engaged donors. And one of the ways that we've done this Bob, and I think this will really resonate with you and your expertise, is we have used technology to reduce the administrative burden of how do we process grants.
What kind of technology specifically, Nate? That's the second time you've alluded to technology in this conversation. What exactly are we talking about here?
We use a platform that allows us not only to receive grants, but also to process a whole range of employee giving opportunities. If they want, if our employees want gifts matched, if they want to record volunteer hours, and there are a host of the suppliers for these types of technologies. And when we were able to transition to that technology, and we did so back in 2016, it freed up our time to do the kinds of things exactly that you're mentioning, Bob, to spend more time with nonprofit organizations, to assess whether they're actually having an impact, to be more accessible and approachable to members of our community. And so that was one stage of our technological evolution. The other thing that we've seen to build on that is that there are now additional platforms and technologists and experts that integrate with large donors like John Deere and the John Deere Foundation to work with our grantees, our nonprofit partners, to regularly report out and standardize reporting and simplify reporting on the outcomes that they're producing. And so technology, just as technology has unleashed a lot for us and our customers and our employees, it's unlocking a lot for us as a CSR field and profession.
Nate, do you worry about corporate commitments to CSR wavering or going up or down in line with the economic conditions or, for that matter, corporate profits?
That's a terrific question. And in fact, we have seen the winds of change for corporate social responsibility come and go over our history. We saw very early on in the early 1900s, the idea of corporate social responsibility actually developed. Before the early 1900s, there really wasn't a vision. Corporations weren't that big. The vision of philanthropy was often tied to individuals like Andrew Carnegie and others. Mm-hmm. But we saw as global and community need grew during World War I and the Great Depression, the concept that corporations and businesses should give, that actually took root. That's what produced the move in the 1930s and 40s and 50s to create things like the John Deere Foundation. We saw critiques of corporate social responsibility coming from the likes of Milton Friedman in the early 1970s that stifled a bit of the development and raised questions about what is corporate social responsibility, what are those duties that corporations have to its various stakeholders. But in the 2000s, particularly fueled by the global economic recession and more recently the COVID-19 pandemic, the idea that corporations, as they grow and even as they face economic headwinds, that there are some things that they must do to deliver value and unique value beyond just profit, that has certainly persisted. And going back to one of the questions you asked, Bob, about the John Deere Foundation, one of the things that was so prescient and thoughtful of John Deere when it started the foundation in 1948 was that the foundation serves as a way that Deere and Company can give money into a charity that is separate from the company. And when we face as a business headwinds and that we have to pull our levers quite naturally to sustain our business during challenging times, there is money within our foundation to make sure that we're not doing anything less in our community when times are the toughest. And in fact, the John Deere Foundation is quite proud of our history, that we do more. We step up in big ways and in more ways when times are the toughest. But you're right, Bob. CSR, again, is this artifact, and it's affected by the world around us. And sometimes it can wane, but over the last 20 years or so, I think we've seen it grow in some important ways.
But the commitment remains consistent regardless of the ups or downs of economic performance, then, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Or is there some wiggle room back and forth, maybe, if we do go into a recession or something like that and corporate profits do take a dive? It just seems only natural that your commitment would have to be reexamined for that period of time.
It's true. One of the things that one of our former leaders used to say is that the first responsibility of our business is to run a successful business, because mm-hmm. that success allows things like donations to the John Deere Foundation or ways that we ensure the prosperity of our home communities. And at the same time, and maybe this is something that is quite special to John Deere, that part of the legacy, and if I were to go ask my grandmother again, sort of why she thinks that John Deere is one of the best places to work, is that the company shows up at the hardest times. There are stories about how we showed up during the Great Depression. There have been other moments that we showed up that have created an immutable brand or an immutable sense of constancy that is unique to John Deere. It's not just running a good business, but we run the right business, even at the hardest times.
But you can imagine, we can hear the voice of Milton Friedman saying that you are not making the best use of your assets for your share. You're not serving the needs of your shareholders to the greatest degree of to their investment by doing this. And your response, of course, is definitely disagreement, I would assume.
It is. Friedman was certainly, when he wrote his piece in 1970, he was certainly commenting on the nature of corporations as he saw it at the time. Corporations have changed so dramatically, and the roles that corporations play as powers for prosperity and enormous global development that is beyond simply shareholder returns. That's, I think, now undeniable. It was Larry Fink and others. He wrote A Sense of Purpose in 2018 that talked about how these expectations change.
Yeah, and that was a big move, wasn't it? A big suddenly a new paradigm came out of that almost, it seems.
It is. The tension or transition from shareholder value to stakeholder value is a really interesting one. And again, this sort of proves the point of historical artifacts. Really smart people can have debates about the role of corporations in capitalism. And for us, in our experience, we know that we can drive enormous profits and enormous financial gains. And that one of the ways that we supplement and sustain those, because we're inextricably integrated with so many other things, like the health of our communities, that when we make those investments in our communities, those perpetuate our success, they strengthen our success, and then they do something really special. They build goodwill and what John Deere is and who we are. And that's something that we take really seriously. This is pretty heavy stuff, Bob, and there is a constant re-exploration of what should corporations and capitalism do, and we're really thrilled and proud to contribute to that debate.
Nate Clark, congratulations on 75 years of the John Deere Foundation. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell me about the work of the foundation and for this larger discussion about CSR in general. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Bob, it was nice spending time with you. And if you ever find yourself in Moline, Illinois, Waterloo, Iowa, or any of our home communities, we'd love to host you for a visit.
That was my conversation with Nate Clark of the John Deere Foundation, talking about trends in CSR and corporate giving. We're online at www.supplychainbrain.com, where we post a new episode of this podcast for streaming or downloading every Friday. You can also read our Think Tank blog, watch thousands of videos, and access all of our other content, including the digital edition of our magazine. Look for us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Follow us on Twitter or X at @scbrain. And also watch videos on our YouTube channel. You can also download or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Got any comments or suggestions on this or any episode? Email me at rbowman@supplychainbrain.com. Stay well, and see you next time.